Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
The word that I want to teach you today is hope. Hope is a word, it's my favorite word. I don't know if you know me, but the last church that I planted, its name was Hope. It was called Hope Community Church, and I just love the word hope. And I'm going to teach you a formula today about hope. Hope has many things for you, for me, but let me ask you a little question. Who of all of you needs some hope? Come on, now we all need some hope. Amen? Amen? How many of you have ever struggled in your relationship, ever struggled in your health, ever struggled in your finances, ever struggled with mental health, ever struggled with an addiction? You know, we all need some hope. Hope is what changes the world. It's what changes our lives. Do you know that hope activates faith? And with active faith, the word says you can move mountains. So the issues that you're struggling with, you just need some hope and get some active faith and let God be in charge. Amen? Amen. And so let's just see what he has for us today. But what about hope for a deeper walk with Jesus? What about hope with a deeper walk with God? How many of us go asking for that type of hope? I'm going to challenge you that if you're not, today is the day. We're going to walk with hope. We're going to walk with faith. And God is going to do something awesome in your life and in my life. Hope is something that I've been stuck on for a long time. I love hope because it activates my faith. And with active faith, the problems in life are just short-term memories. They just go. And God does his work and they're gone. And so we all live in the same world. I got asked today if I watch Fox News. Not much. Every night, I probably watch more Hannity and some of the Ingram angle, and I get the local word of what's going on this earth through that part of the news. And I'm not telling you that if you're on the other side of the politics, I'm not going to go there today. I don't have authority for that here. And so God is in control. Amen? Yes. Amen? Amen. And so, you know, but the media, the TV, your friends, society tells us where our hope is. In fact, TV, if you watch it much, it'll ask you a question, what's in your wallet? Huh? It does that all the time. If you don't have that credit card, whatever you're doing is not good enough. And I don't have that credit card, but I have God in my life. And for me, that's enough. Amen? And so, you know, there's times that we just have to ask God maybe a different question. What do you want from me? What do you want me to do? Where can I make some change? God, can you clean my mind when you clean my heart? Father God, change my will, change my circumstances, change where my feet go, what I do. Help me to become the man that is pleasing to you. Do you ask God those questions? He wants to hear them from you every day. Just begin talking to him. He's your heavenly Father. If you don't actively pray, if you don't actively ask, and you've got a mess in your life, guess what? You can wake up to that same mess tomorrow. It continues automatically. And I've done Celebrate Recovery for over 20 years, taught those people each week, I've learned an awful lot through the world's hurts. Yeah, the world is hurting, and they're all looking for hope. Getting them to come sometimes is the challenge. I've seen that all my life in church. Just getting people to come can be a challenge. But today I want to lock in on the question, where is your hope? Where is your hope? Is it in your job? Is it in your bank account? Is it in what you own or where you live? Or is it in the hand of the man that walked upon the waters of Galilee? Where do you place your ultimate hope? That, ladies and gentlemen, challenges you, it challenges me, and it changes every situation, every day, every moment. We all get 24/7, 365, but you know each one of us have a beginning and we have an end time. And that's where we have to have our hope for an eternity. As you and I have asked Christ into our heart and life, and if you haven't, you'll get an opportunity at the end of today's service. But coming into relationship with Jesus is number one. That's a place that we all hope that so many of our family and friends and people that we know. Do you know this Thursday or tomorrow, I will be up back up for Grief Share. Thursday, I'll be back up doing a little Zoom class at Door County Coffee, and I'm bringing an unbeliever with me. So if you think of me Thursday, pray for him. I need to witness to him. I need to introduce the God, my personal God, your personal God, the only true God, to Bob. Just pray for Bob. I believe that his family needs salvation today more than anything. So answer this question, where is your hope? You know what comes with it? Peace and transformation, blessings, goodness, and God has it all for you and he has it all for me. If you ask the right questions, do the right things, God shows up. Now I'm going to talk to you a little bit honestly here. Sometimes we deal with finances or financial issues in our life. Sometimes we deal with health issues in our life. And we say, God, I've been praying every day. Where are you? Have you ever done that? I've done that at one point in time. And then I've had to get into his word and begin understanding I need to ask some different questions. Sometimes you need to bring the prayer to him in a different matter. Sometimes we need to repent. Sometimes we need to get our heart clean. Sometimes we need to get our attitude clean. Sometimes we need to get our mind clean. Sometimes we need to ask him to wake our hope up so that we have active faith, so that we can believe to receive what he has in store for you and what he has in store for me. Amen? Amen. Now, if you give me a few amens, I'll give you a little better word. Okay? Amens fire me up. And when Pastor Ed's giving a good word, and it's almost every week, give him some amens too. It just fires the pastor up. Amen? Amen. And so, you know, excuse me, today I will have to look at my notes a little more to make sure you're not getting something that is not, unless it's totally upon my heart. But hope fires me up. It fires me up, and I'm going to challenge that it fires you up. If you're as old as me, you remember the old wind-up watches. I remember my first watch was an old Timex, and I had to wind it up every day or my time would be late. My first alarm clock was a wind-up West clock or something. And that thing, the alarm went off every day at time, and as long as I wound it at night before I went to bed. And there was a morning where all of a sudden my mom and dad are hollering, Mike, get up, Mike, get up, you're going to be late for school. And I look at the clock, and it says 3:30, and I pull the covers over my head. Next thing I know, I feel the covers being pulled off. Get up, you didn't wind your clock up last night. It's time to get up. And so up I went, and the day began. We all have days like that. Sometimes they start in a mess. Sometimes they start in a cluster. But let God be in the midst. When you get up, before you go to bed, pray. Before you get out of bed, if you have an extra 5 minutes, set the alarm 5 minutes earlier if you are stretched in time, and pray before your feet even touch the floor. Ask God's blessings upon the day. Ask God's mercies. Ask for God's strength. Ask for God's hope to activate your faith so that when your faith is active, you're taking God with you to work. You're taking God with you to school. You're taking God with you wherever you may go. Let him be 24/7, 365, every day, every way, part of your life. Amen. Let me just read so there's not slides, so I'll be reading from the Bible. In the Psalms, there's three verses that are identical. Psalm 42. Psalm 42, verse 5, it says this. My soul thirsts for... Oh, I guess I got to get on the right verse here. Verse 5, there it is. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why do we go to bed angry? We wake up angry. You know what the Word of God says? Don't let the sun go down upon your anger. That means if you're struggling with some anger, say you're sorry or mend the fences before you go to bed. If not, you're going to wake up angry. You're going to be wound up tight, and you're going to be not helpful to somebody. And so why are you downcast, God is asking? Is it your health? Is it your finances? Is it your relationships? What causes you to be downcast? God is saying, why are you downcast? And then he says, why so disturbed within me? Why are you letting your worries and your today-to-day troubles wreck the rest of your day, wreck the rest of your week? And then the Word of God says this, put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. And you know the Hebrew translation for that word hope is Yeshua. And that means victory, means deliverance. And so put your hope in God that gives you victory, that gives you deliverance, and celebrate hope. Amen? Amen? Just walk and talk with God and ask him for what you need, and he'll deliver your answers. And then the next, it says, it ends with this, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And do you know that in verse 11, I'm going to challenge you to get your Bibles out when you get home. Psalm 42, verse 5, I just read, verse 11 is the exact same verse. If you go to Psalm 43, verse 5, it will be the exact same verse. And you know what that tells me? If God is having the same verse written three times, you better pay attention to it, you better listen, and you better do it. So put your hope in the God of this universe. He will bring victory. He'll bring blessings. He'll change circumstances that you would have otherwise no control of. And God is the God of deliverance. He's the God of hope. He's the God of mercy. He's the God of grace. And God changes everything. Amen? Amen. I've got two little stories for you. We all know about the story of Job, do we not? Well, Job was a great wealthy man. The 42 chapters of Job. Read them if you need a little individual Bible study, because I'm not reading those 42 chapters for you. I'm just going to paraphrase it in Mike language. Okay? So, and Job was a wealthy man. He had lots of sheep, lots of cattle, lots of animals. He had children. He had a wife. And one day in heaven, good old Satan or Lucifer shows up. He walks into God's board meeting room because he knew where it was. And he shows up and God looks at him, Satan, what are you doing here? And he says, well, I just have one question for you. What about your servant Job? How is he doing today? And God says, why? You want to test him? Yep, I want to take him down. God says, you can do whatever you can to him, but you cannot take his life. And next day, the armies come in, and all his money, all his wealth is taken away, is gone. And then his kids are all gathered in one house, they're having a party, and the house is all blown away, and his children pass away. Now he's got this, man, do you have one? Wife that comes saying, honey, what's going on? We have no more money. We have no more kids. What did you do wrong? And she begins picking on him unmercifully. And then he gets sick. And he's sitting by the fire. He has three friends. They try to come to comfort him and bring him some encouragement so his hope gets active again. And do you know what he does? He blesses his friends. And then the wife is just sick and disgusted of hearing what's all going on. And she says to him, why don't you just lay down and die, Job? I'd be better off. Have you ever said that to your spouse? I've probably heard that once or twice in my home over almost 50 years of marriage. And do you know when we say something like that, we really don't mean it. It's the wrong spirit speaking. And so allow God to bring healing to your heart, to your home. Allow hope to become active and just teach you and strengthen you and care for you. So anyhow, there's one question. If you read the 42nd chapter of Job, it tells you how it ends. Job is restored. He's got double the animals and money that he had before it was all taken from him. And the Bible says he has the fairest or the prettiest daughters in the land. I have one question when I get to heaven. Did he get a different wife? Now you may think differently of me for thinking that, but that's my question that I want to find out in eternity. Okay? Story number two is about my family. 15 years ago, October 17th, I'm pastor. I get a call from my son. Dad, can you meet us at the hospital? Your first grandson's about to be born, and the doctors say he may not make it. And 2 years before that, we had our first granddaughter born. I'm looking forward to my first grandson because I'm not real good with dresses. Forgive me. My wife is better at taking care of the young ladies. But anyhow, I begin driving, and then he calls and he says, no, go to my house, send Halia to your sister-in-law's house, two houses down. My mother-in-law is there, and you got to tell her to go home. She can't come to the hospital. She is, let me be friendly, she's about a quarter of an inch off my son's mother-in-law. Just a little slow, a little different. I love her dearly, and she's a great woman. But she really gets hysterical, and when she gets hysterical, not a good place to be around. And I told her she needed to go home. I had to go by Matt and Jenny. She said, why? Is their baby dying? And she asked me that question. I'm not about to lie. And I said, there's a good chance the baby may not make it. And she started hitting me and pushing me and throwing things around. And I said, Diane, I'm going to take your keys away from you and you're going to walk home. It's about 4 or 5 miles. You can't do that. And I said, you're not acting right. And I'm not sure that you would be safe. And I've got to get going. And I no more than get in my car, and I get a call. Your grandson's dead, Dad. My son's crying. But come down anyhow. Well, and call the other pastor too. And so I had to go about 30 miles to the hospital. I don't know how I got there. I just got there. You know, there was a lot of tears in my eyes and a lot of tears of hope and faith that weren't there. You ever have those days? It's part of life. But when you're anchored in hope, there's always an answer. Always. So I get to the hospital and I'm crying. What am I going to say? God, show me. Give me the words. What am I going to say? I open my Bible and I open to the book of Zechariah and I look at Zechariah 9:12. And I read that and I say, I'm not sure that this is for them. I close my Bible again. I say, God, what do I need to say to them? Give me your word. I open my Bible again just randomly and I open to Zechariah 9 and I read verse 12 again. I'm going to read it for you. Zechariah 9, verse 12. If I can find it here, says this. Maybe I don't have it marked, but I know what it says. Zechariah 9:12, for I, your God, will bless you twice with what the enemy has stolen. And so even though you have hope active in your lives, there's times that Job was given permission to have things stolen to test him. There's going to be times that you're going to have a mess in your life, and you know what you need to say? God, give me the strength to pass this test. I prayed when I was in high school, when I was in college, when I was in Bible school, to pass those tests. Sometimes I prayed more than I studied. But in the end, we all like to pass our tests, do we not? And the Word of God says, I will bless you twice with all what the enemy's taken from you. That was October 15 years ago. The following September, on September 11th, that's my birthday, my first grandson was born. The following year, 2 weeks later, in September, the second grandson was born. So now they're 14 and 13. And next weekend, I'm not sure if I'll be here. My son said, you know, we were intending to be in the orchard hunting with them in Sturgeon Bay, so I would have been here. And he says, now I can't go. I've got responsibilities at church, Dad, that weekend. Can we go to your woods in Cedar Grove? I said, well, yeah, you can. I'm just not sure if I'll be there. Well, we've just got to talk about those things this week and get our schedules together. But God is a God, a good God, all the time. Amen? Amen? And so whatever test you're going through, just ask God the right questions. Ask Him to read the Scripture, read the Bible, pray. Talk to Him. Let Him challenge your heart. Let Him challenge your thinking. And then let Him bless you. And there's times I've said to Him when I know that things have happened, God, what are my double blessings going to be? And you know, as a kid, I grew up in the home, my mom always said, on our farm, we never had a lot of money. We always had a lot to eat. And she always said, one of these days, our ship's going to come in. I don't know if you've ever heard that old saying, oh, our ship's going to come in. And I've never seen my ship come in, but I've seen my blessings come in. Amen? I prefer the blessings of God than the ship that's still lost at sea. So, when we're stuck, you know what it feels like. When you hold on to your pain, when you hold on to your hurt, we kind of get ourselves in our own little funk. We begin to get our pity party together. And if you knew me well, I threw some of the best pity parties in Sheboygan at one time or another. I had my own pity parties, and they were the best. I was the king of my pity party. I ran it well. But where do many people in the world find hope? A bottle, a pill, a bar, a casino, another man, another woman. People find their hope all in the wrong places in today's world. Begin asking the right questions. Begin seeking the right questions and the answers of hope at the feet of God, at the foot of God. And when you begin there, you will never go wrong. Ask God to change your heart, change your mind, change your life, and release your hope. Get your hope active so that your faith... And you know what I had to do when I was in my pity party? It was just like the story of the two sons, where the one asked dad for half his inheritance because he didn't want to work on the farm anymore. And he went to town and blew it all on the wrong women and the parties with all the guys that wanted to. And when his money was done, he had no friends. I've challenged many people in counseling. You got to find some new friends. Quit hanging around with that woman. Quit hanging around with that man. Get to somebody, because if you're not with the right person, do you know what? They drag you down. They drag you down and they take your hope away from you. You need to get around somebody that will encourage you. When you have encouragement, I'm going to give you the formula right now. What activates hope? Encouragement. Encouragement activates hope. Hope activates faith, and that's a formula that's tested in the Bible. So write it down. Remember it. Get around somebody that will encourage you, because encouragement activates your hope, and hope activates your faith. And when you've got active faith, the Word of God in 1 Corinthians 13:2 says your active faith will move mountains. It'll move your problems. But if you don't have active faith and you just keep praying and you're wondering, when God, when? When's my ship coming in? When's something going to change in my life? You're going to keep wondering. And you're going to keep wanting. And you're going to keep needing. When, God, when? Why, God, why? So how does this all change? I'm going to talk with you about that as we close here today. How does this all change? What do you need to do? If you're a believer and you're walking in hope, you're growing in Christ. If you're not a believer, that's your starting line. You got to make that choice. And if you're walking in the world's hope of bars, pills, and this and that, you know what you're doing? Is you're walking further away from your hope. And your ship is further at sea and it's lost and the pirates are going to get it. Or the blessings are going to come to my house and not yours. And then you're mad at me. I did nothing wrong. Huh? Have you ever been there? You know, I can tell you this. In the 30 years that I've been a pastor, I've always had another business. And that's where God has always blessed financially. Way more than what the church could ever pay my value or my worth. Not that God is not... I just never took more from church. I wanted it to be there for the kingdom. And God, so I've always done two jobs. Not that I needed to, but I wanted to. Maybe my attitude was wrong too, I don't know. We all make mistakes, do we not? Okay. I'm there with you, let me believe you. So let me suggest this thought of change. When hope's not working, go read those Proverbs, go read God's Word, and then repent. God, clean my heart up, clean my mind up, clean my life up. Give him permission to do the work that needs to change you to become the man or woman of God that he connects with. Because without that, we're just lost sheep. Even though we're believers, even though we've got our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, without hope, you're not getting your prayers answered. Your active faith is blocked. And sometimes it's your choice, sometimes it's other people's choices, but I'm telling you the truth. Repent and keep your own mind and heart clean. Amen. That's the first step. Step one, amen? Amen? When we've got our mind and heart clean, we can begin believing that God is for us, not against us. What does the Word of God say? God is good. How much? All the time. Begin believing it. Begin living it. Begin believing God is good. What? All the time. He will never let the circumstances come against you that He doesn't know that you have the strength and power to overcome. I could tell you stories about me and the things I've had to go through, but today's not the day. Maybe another day I'll tell you about my background. I want to give you quickly five little steps that I learned that steals our hope. And you know where I learned them? I learned them from the people that came to celebrate recovery, people that came from the world. Step number one, lacking no hope from the beginning. I don't know how many times I heard a woman or man say to me, well, my parents never listened to me. They always told me I was dumb. I wasn't athletic enough. I wasn't smart enough. I wasn't pretty enough. I wasn't this. I wasn't that. I don't know if you've ever had that, but I've heard a little bit of that at one time or another. And that begins making some problems. And you know what you need to say? With God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Not just maybe, not just how, maybe just someday, but all things are possible. You have a green light to His throne through the cross, through the redemption of Christ. That forgiveness is for you. And act upon it. There's times that we all do things wrong, even as believers. Make sure that your sins are always forgiven before you go to sleep. Or even right after you know you did something wrong, say, God, forgive me. Give me the strength not to do this again. Forgive me for offending you. And then ask forgiveness if you've offended the other person, the other man or the other woman. Number two, loss of connection. Loss of connection is where addictions start. People get out of control when they begin losing their purpose. Purpose of their heart, purpose of their lives. They just find the pills and the bottle, and they begin just, addictions become comfortable. It makes them happy. They have some friends for the moment. But it never lasts. It just brings more pain, more hurt, more sorrow. And many of us may have friends or family that we're praying for that are in the moment of loss of connection. It's not easy. But trust God. He's in control. I've struggled with some of my family members. In fact, they don't even want to see me at Christmas or Thanksgiving anymore. You know, they live one life and I live another. And you know what I've had to do is I just had to give them to God and say, God, you just continue to work on them. If they want to see me, they'll call me. And if I want to see them, I'll call them. It's not that I don't want to see them. It's just that I want to continue to keep my hope active so I continue to choose to go be around positive people. I don't know if that makes me wrong or not, but that's just what I choose. So I'm just challenging you. What are you choosing? Number three, victimization. Oh, how many of us have ever punished ourselves with our thoughts or our own actions that we know nobody saw, but we know He did? And we began victimizing ourselves. I'm just a lousy piece of trash. And then there's people that have been victimized all their lives due to how they grew up, where they grew up. And do you know what I do? I pray for them. I feel sorry for them. I want them to find the God of hope. The God of hope that changes and activates their faith and gives them their blessings. And number four is burnout. There are some of us when we lose hope, we keep trying to do the same old thing, the same old way, and we wake up with the same old problem. Sometimes it's a little messier. We look at the pile of bills on our table, and they should have been paid 2 weeks ago, and we have only this much money in our checkbook. And we begin to feel like we're burnt out. I can't do this anymore. God, when are you going to show up? And we begin getting mad. We begin getting bitter. We begin getting angry. Now, forgive me, I'm just giving you some of these punchlines here, and I'm not teaching you on each point due to the amount of time that I have today. So burnout occurs. We end up with a cynical view of life, and we get burned out. Our hope is gone. And number five, worry. I don't know how many of you have ever been a good worry ward. I used to be king of it. So come to my country. Were you working there? Huh? I don't know how many of you have ever struggled with worry. Worry is something that we instantly grab a hold of when a problem shows up. And I've had to learn to say, get behind me, Satan, and begin to activate my faith and take a hold of God. And so do you. If you struggle with worry, if you're worrying about something, you go to sleep, you don't sleep well. You wake up in the morning and you're worried about it, or a phone call comes in and it tells you how much worse it is. So put worry behind you, and just seek active hope. Just get around people who will encourage you. Come to church each Sunday, and if you can't, watch it online. And I've met a family and couple this morning that are vacationing here, and they chose to come to church. I attempt to go to church whenever I'm vacationing. God is good. How much? All the time. And so he is, and we've got to learn to give him thanks. So let me just give you a few more things that you individually can do to keep your hope active, and then we'll wrap this up. Number one, repent. I've told you that before. Ask God to clean your mind, clean your heart, and get rid of the dirty work in your life. Number two, find new friends and people that will support you with your change that you're trying to make. That was hard for me at one time. I had good times with some of my buddies that I played ball with. And I just realized it had to be them, or I was not. They had to go, and I had to find somebody new. And you know, in my marriage life, if you don't have another man and wife couple to hang around with, because the old guys and the single girls, they're not a good fit for a good married life. They're good friends, but you don't go out with them individually. And we had to pray and ask God to give us another couple that we could enjoy Friday night dinners and or movies with. And when we had that, our marriage became blessed. And so I challenge you, just ask God for what you need to allow that hope to fill your hearts, fill your lives. Number four, let me encourage you. Right now, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, to close your eyes. No man's looking around, no woman's looking around. I'm going to encourage you. If you need encouragement, just slip your hand up. God's going to see. If you need hope, I see some hands. Raise your hand. God's going to see. If you need active faith, raise your hands, and we should all be raising our hands. We all need active faith, and God sees. So let me encourage you to take the steps of victory. I'm going to pray for you right now. God's going to make changes. God's going to heal some. God's going to bless some. God's going to open new doors for you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for those that need encouragement. I pray for those that need hope. I pray for those that need healing. I pray for those that need financial blessings. Lord, I pray for those that have relationship issues. I pray for anyone here that has an addiction. I pray for each man, woman, and child to have a blessing according to the Word of God. Just bless and touch and heal and strengthen and allow each of us to walk out these doors with our pants on fire, full of hope. And Lord, help that fire of hope go into our homes. Help it to go into our work where we go. Each person that we run into this week, Lord, help them to see the hope living in you. And may they even ask you, hey, I haven't seen you for a while. Something's different. And have the opportunity to talk about the living God and share it with them. Give them the same victory that you're feeling. So I just pray these blessings for you, and may they touch you and help you in the name of Jesus. We all said, amen. Amen.